Blitz, KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gau Media station. If you're not down with that, we got two words for you.
Are you ready?
Hey, you think you can tell us what to do? You think you can tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters.
Break it down. You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Hour number two, 713-780. ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, you are good to go. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Aaron is Blitz, at Degenerates 975. You can also text the show. You know the number. And first hour, Rockets for half of it, Game of Thrones for half of it.
Should we go back to Rockets? Apparently, that's what all people want to talk about, even more than Game of Thrones somehow.
Honestly, I can't keep up with all the tweets and texts I'm getting on both. So that ought to tell you something. But this guy, 97.5 are a bunch of sellouts. They don't want their national media friends to dislike them. So they are using that lazy and lack of backbone take of can't blame the officials.
Tell me more about my national media friends. I don't even have local media friends. You want me to have national media friends? Okay.
I'm pretty much on record as saying I don't give a flying bleep what they
care what people think of me.
And this whole national thing, guys, we've had chances to go national several times. There's very few people. This is one of the greatest misnomers, and I'm going to clear this up right now. It's like podcasts. It's like there are podcasts that do fantastic. Adam Carolla's podcast. Those guys
Joe Rogan.
They make a bunch of money. And then there's a bunch of national podcasts that don't make a dime.
Yeah.
In national radio, there's some guys who are making big money. Stephen A. is making big money.
Huge.
Skip Bayless, Colin, guys like that. The rest of them don't do nearly as well as we do here.
Let me tell you something.
So why
we own our company owns a national network. A radio network. I wouldn't trade salaries with one on-air guy on that network. Not one of them. So it's being national media is an overrated thing. Trust me.
Yeah, and believe me, I've had chances more than once. And I like here. I like being here.
Yeah,
I like
good.
This show. We do really well. So I have no one to kiss up to in the national media because I have no interest in doing anything beyond this, in this business. As long as I stay in this business, I'm staying here.
And trust me, nobody who's in the national media is listening to my show to see what I say about it. I don't have friends like that.
You know what I want to do next? This one I'll throw out there, and I don't want to piss these guys off, okay? Whenever the narrator for Ancient Aliens retires, I want that job.
Well,
I want to be the narrator for Ancient Aliens.
So
can I kiss up to them?
Well, not blaming the officials, will that cost you?
I don't think that's going to hurt me.
Will it cost me on being the Price is Right host?
Probably not.
I don't think so. That's all I care about. You think I want to work in the national media? No. I want to host the Price is Right. That's my dream.
And I want to narrate Ancient Aliens where I can say something, you know, where I can just go in and do the, well, the Bible says this. What if these were really aliens?
Let's talk to, I don't even know how to say that name, Bizita? Did I say that right?
Yes, Bazita.
Bazita.
Yes. This is one of my first times calling into the radio. I was listening to one of the hosts, and they mentioned that, you know, the Rockets wouldn't last or survive on playing street ball. And, you know, they shouldn't rely on the refs to call a game for them and whatnot. But I think the idea is that they're playing in the NBA, where there are rules and regulations. And I think if, you know, if they're there for a reason, they should be implemented correctly, not because it's just a big game or, because it happens to be a more, I mean, things do get more physical, and so there should be, you know, people paying attention to that. So, let's see, my husband, he plays street ball, and, you know, he hates the fact that, you know, there's people foul a lot, you know, he gets injured and whatnot. So, I just feel like that's why the Rockets are in the NBA and not playing street ball.
Well, the Warriors are in the NBA too. They're playing under the same rules. And, you know, James Harden kicking his feet out and kicking a dude in the ball sack. Sorry, I said that. I was talking to a lady. Kicking him in the bean bag.
In the private parts would be fine.
In the testy satchel. And then the foul gets called on the guy who got kicked in the balls. How's that play over in street ball? I mean, I'm just saying that, like, this brand of basketball, if you are counting on officials to save you, it will not fly in the playoffs. It's never flown in the playoffs. The NBA playoffs where the Rockets play, the Rockets are an NBA team. They were an NBA team last year and every year before. It's always the same. The game is called differently in the playoffs. It is a tougher game in the playoffs. So get tougher or get over it.
You know, it's number one on Sports Map today. My review of Game of Thrones Season 8, Episode 3. That's gotten four times the hits of our Astros piece. And much more than our Rockets. I don't know why.
I don't know.
All right. We're going to take a quick break.
Take some more calls on the other side. Yeah. About both things. We'll take them about both things.
We will. So if you're spoiler alerted, we're going to have to re-spoiler alert you. Quick break. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to The Blitz.
Hey, guys. Sports to you.
On ESPN 97.5.
Sports to you.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. And I feel like we get this question a lot. If you were offered Stephen A. Smith money, you still wouldn't leave? No, I wouldn't. Nobody believes me on that because I know for a lot of you, money is all that matters. I've done jobs where I was miserable. I would be miserable trying to do that in fake takes.
Well, this is where Fred and I differ. I would if I were offered Stephen A. Smith money. I'm not going to get offered that money. I mean, if I can make money that would set up my family for generations, yeah, I'd do that. But
I guess I'd do it for a year, but then I'd come back. I'd just put that $10 million in the bank and then say, okay.
I want to do like what most of these national media guys do and work for $80K a year and just be miserable and not have any fun? No. You know, we did the show a couple times, a couple national shows. You say the word ass and it's like a call's coming into the program director.
Oh, yeah. Penis.
You know that from Charlotte, North Carolina, I just heard the word ass on the radio. I'm going to call the FCC on you. Dude.
Yeah, you don't think when I was doing that Saturday night show on the network that they didn't get calls about, hey, that, you know, it's Mobile, Alabama. That feller just used the word dickweed. Could you explain to me what that means? Because I'm a little offended by that. And my 47-year-old sister was in the car with me. She's offended by that. So can you please, I don't understand. What is dickweed? Is it a penis? Is it a piece of grass? Is it a combination of the two? I don't think that gentleman should be saying that on the air.
When I was doing my internship, that was when you guys were out at the Super Bowl in New York. Oh, you couldn't say bitches to end the show.
Yeah,
and I was working on the national side with Chris Taylor, and the first day I sat in, you had to say "Stay sports." He believes is like, "That's not how the show ends." He goes, "Oh no, we got calls about it."
Oh yeah, yeah, we did from San Francisco and all these other places, and I did that show for 2 years, and I enjoyed it, but after a while, it's kind of like this isn't fun. Plus, I wanted my Saturday nights off again, and I was in a good enough position where I didn't need to do that. But it was a good show, but it was also, you know. And not for me.
Let's talk to, what's that, Crooked?
Well, you got him right here.
Action.
How you doing?
We're doing sports, sir.
Go Good, good. I'm coming to y'all defense for that guy that's the Walmart greeter that's going to get a raise in about 6 months to a cashier job. I think what he need to do is understand basketball. I've been watching basketball for 50 years, and if you go back and watch the 94-95 Rockets, they didn't complain. They hit shots. They hustle. Basketball is meant to be a fast game. The Rockets play a slow game. You cannot win in the NBA like this. And I'm going to hang up and let you guys talk about it.
Thank you.
That guy
doesn't think I'm a dummy. You remember when Mario Elie was gonna hit the kiss of death, but he kicked his legs out and got fouled instead, and then he made three free throws, and then they beat the Suns. You remember that? That's not how it happened.
Well, the two thoughts, and while I agree with him in principle on the 94 team,
up basketball in general back then.
Yeah, the thing is, people forget. Akeem complains so much in his career. It was only at the end where he kind of got zen, but he complained a lot because just like Shaq did early in his career, because they were bigger than everybody else and faster than everybody else. And in Shaq's case, it was like the whites climbing on the dragon. And so they never call fouls, but he complained a lot back then. But having said that, you know what? I think the Rockets style is fine if they make threes, but that's where they're putting all their eggs. And now they need to put them in the basket. See what I did there?
Yes.
All right. Do you want to do another one of these?
Yeah. Martin.
Hello?
Hey now, sports.
Sports, guys. First of all, I just want to say I'm a huge fan of you guys, and I will never want you to go national. I think Houston is lucky to have you guys. But that being said, I tend to agree with you guys on almost everything you guys say. But one thing that I kind of had to, I want to throw out my opinion about this is the whole officiating, they officiate, in the NBA, that they officiate different from the regular season to the postseason. I think it is a little bit embarrassing that they don't call the same fouls and everything, because I think it needs to be some consistency right there. I mean, I'm not no NBA player like your first caller or anything like that, but
I'm not either. Unfortunately, I think they need to fix that.
I think they need to fix that right there because it really isn't fair, I guess you can say, for lack of a better word. But I just wanted to say that, and also I was wondering when you guys gonna talk about Endgame. I'll hang up and listen.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess we'll talk about Endgame later in the week.
Yeah,
just because we don't have time to talk about it today. We haven't even mentioned the draft.
I know.
NFL draft happened over the weekend.
Fortunately, we do have Lance today.
5:30?
Yeah, that'll be good. So we'll get our draft in. But I would say we do that tomorrow because it'll be a slower day.
Yeah.
And I think give people, basically if you haven't seen it yet and you're going to go tonight, great. If you're not going to go before then, just we're going to be talking about it tomorrow if you don't want it ruined. Because I agree that if we wait too long, then everybody's going to have seen it and everybody else is already going to talk about it. I can't wait to talk about it because somebody asked earlier, rank in order what you enjoyed the most over the weekend.
Uh-huh.
Endgame, Thrones, Rockets. Endgame number one for me.
Oh, yeah. Me too.
And I like Thrones better than you did, so...
Let's talk to Cole.
Hey, Cole. Go.
Hey, sports guys.
Sports to you.
Hey, I was calling, man. I don't think he called the game because of it, but why are they letting the official wear the Kevin Durant shoes? Ain't there rules against that?
I didn't even see it. I saw that story. I wasn't paying close enough attention to know if he... was actually wearing those shoes. I mean, maybe he was. Maybe they're comfortable. I don't know. But I'm not going to get overhyped on that. Sean.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
It's going sports.
Good, man. I know it's been a lot of Rockets talk, but, I just wanted to talk about it real quick. I feel like Austin Rivers, we haven't really mentioned him too much, but I feel like that's a nice piece that was missing, so I think that's going to benefit having him back. But
dude, who knows if they would have let him play? They didn't let Kenneth Faried play.
Well, the thing is, I understand that too, and I kind of want, you know, Kenneth Free, because I feel like at times if Kenneth Free was in, you know, he could have made some good defensive and offensive rebounding, because there's times where, you know, Green made some really big rebounds and nobody was blocking out, and I feel like he could have been that. But you know what? I'm going to be positive and say at the end of the day, we still had a chance to win that game. We're going to bring it a lot better tomorrow, and I can promise you this, we're going to take tomorrow. I'm going to shut up and listen.
All right. Yeah, that's the other thing. Play tomorrow, and then...
Not until Saturday.
Give me a break.
I thought when they went to the second round, they went to a normal schedule, but I guess I was wrong about that.
Yeah, you know what? Barry and B.J. Simmons and all these guys, everybody's got the same argument to cover up for bad storytelling. A talking tree, an army of dead people that are alive again, flying dragons, a chick that can ignite metal like a torch, and y'all are hung up on not believing or being not believable because some people didn't die. It doesn't make up for bad storytelling just to say, well, it's fantasy. No, if you're going to tell a fantasy story, don't just skip over random stuff. Like, how did Arya sneak up on the Night King when he's circled up like everybody's watching a magic trick, and then all of a sudden she's there. Aaron said somebody said she was in a tree. Our intern said she was in a tree.
Yes.
How'd she get in the tree? It's simple. Just show us. All right? Don't expect... I don't know. I get that it's a fantasy show, but it doesn't mean that you can't question the way they tell the story. That's the lamest argument ever. There's flying dragons. They can do whatever they want. They can, and it can be stupid. And I can call it out for being stupid.
You just started the music on me, and I was going to make a really salient point, but that's okay.
Ooh,
no,
salient.
As someone who...
Fancy.
As someone who actually writes fiction... And I get this, it's fantasy. You can do whatever you want. It's science fiction. You can do whatever you want. No.
You still got to tell a story properly.
The thing is, you can set up the universe any way you want, but that universe has to adhere to certain rules. For instance, if let's say we're writing a fantasy, and AJ and I are badass swordsmen, and we're about to kill Aaron, but then... Aaron reaches his hand into oblivion and pulls out a flaming sword and chops off our heads out of nowhere.
Like, how did he do that? Where's the backstory on how he was able to pull a sword out of nowhere?
That's what you call really bad writing. And believe me, there's a lot of it out there. And that's why when people ask me what do I read, and I tweet it out, there's only like two or three guys that I've never had a bad experience with from fantasy perspective. But it's just like I've always said about time travel. Once you start setting those rules, you can't really control them.
And you can still tell the story
properly. You can tell a story properly, but in a fantasy world or a sci-fi world, once you've established, and we always talk about suspension of disbelief, once you establish what your world is, when you take something that doesn't fit it, then suddenly it pulls you out of your suspension of disbelief, and suddenly you go, what the hell is that? Well, it's what's called bad writing. Now, I don't know that this is necessarily bad writing. I just don't think it's on the level of what we're accustomed to seeing from Game of Thrones, if that's fair. I just think there was a lot of little things. And honestly, this was a complaint about last year because the series moved so fast. It's like, how did this happen? How did this happen? They didn't spend the time to...
They didn't.
To really...
To backstory.
Yeah, because everybody was explaining the whole Bran Night King supposed to wipe out the memory of the world. I get all that, but that wasn't enough development of those characters. And yeah, I get that the Night King didn't talk, and I get that Bran just speaks in fortune cookies. But
by the way, he's the worst character.
I mean, honestly,
he's the worst.
I just want some more depth to that, and I think it's just kind of glossed over. And are we supposed to be afraid of this big bad Night King? Because why?
Yeah,
and it, maybe it's just because he didn't talk. But I think there's some things there that could have been written better, and. We talked about this when I gave my spoiler-free of Endgame last week, which I'm not about to spoil, but I look at things from that perspective when I go, not just to enjoy them, but then, hey, what would I have done if I were writing this? And I don't think I would have changed anything about Endgame. I don't say that very often.
It's pretty good.
But there's some things I would have liked to have seen develop better here.
I almost cried Endgame.
Oh, I teared up in one scene and didn't actually cry, but definitely teared up and was trying to hide it like I had the hiccups. So, but when we do get to that, I think anybody who's seen it knows which one. All right. We good now? Thank you. Sorry. I just kind of wanted to get into that. And it doesn't mean I'm right. But, yeah, I've also spent a lot of time in classes learning how to do this. So
it's like the law with precedent. You have to set a precedent for something like that to happen. Yeah, it'd be unbelievable.
By the way, a couple people tweeting me now. Chris Paul's been fined $35,000 for aggressively confronting and recklessly making contact with a game official.
Oh, wow.
No suspension, just $35,000 fine. That's three technicals on him in the playoffs. So.
And
he was part of a double technical in the Utah series.
And still getting a lot of people asking about Derby stuff. As soon as the draw's over, I'll start publishing stuff. But I don't have anything until once we know the post positions. So be patient. You'll have plenty of time to get my Derby stuff this week. All right, quick break. I have Lance in here next, and we'll talk draft for the first time in the show. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
All right, we've gone more than half the show without talking NFL draft. Thank God Lance Erline, co-host of The Bench, is here. What's up, Lance?
What's going on, guys? How you doing?
It was a busy weekend. We heard the Texans took other players. Did that happen? Can you confirm?
That is accurate. You heard correctly. Over the course of 3 days,
there was a guy from Alabama Southern University College State that was lineman. Oh, an offensive or defensive? Offensive tackle. Yeah, I knew that. Yeah. And then they had other selections, was what the rest of the thing said. Other selections.
Yeah.
Texans made them. Tell us a little bit about some of the others they got.
Yeah, so one of the other guys that they selected was a tallish, long-armed, fastish cornerback out of Kentucky by the name of Lonnie Johnson. Had a tendency to give up touchdowns, which wasn't my favorite thing I saw over the last 2 years. Didn't have much of a tendency to intercept the ball, which was a little troubling. However, once he got to the Senior Bowl against kind of an all-star cast, he really played well and really elevated his game. He's big. He is strong. He's very good in run support. He's got the long arms to be able to, you know, theoretically play the football better, make more plays in the football. But he obviously is going to need some coaching because right now he's much better at the early phases of beating up the wide receiver off the line of scrimmage and not as skilled at this point as playing the ball once it's in the air. So that needs to change. But he should get early playing time. The other second rounder was Max Sharping, a left tackle, right tackle out of Northern Illinois, whose most memorable game came against Brian Burns, the first round pick of, who got him first? I'm trying to remember who drafted Brian Burns. He's first round defensive end of Florida State. And he shut down Brian Burns. Brian Burns, in fact, rotated to the opposite side in the second half away from Max Sharping, who played left tackle. Now, he is not a left tackle, and he can't play left tackle in the NFL. I think he could have some issues at right tackle with edge speed. We'll find out. I mean, it doesn't get any faster than Brian Burns. But
so he might be a guard, is what you're saying.
What's that?
He might be a guard, is what you're saying.
He could be. I think he's what we call a fail inside. So you start him at right tackle, and if he can play there, great. You play him there. If he doesn't, you feel good about his ability to move inside. That was the same thing with Martinez Rankins, where they were going to let him fail himself inside. And the whole time I thought he was a guard. Now, Max Sharping, I think, can be a right tackle. So you may have found your future left and right tackles in this year's draft in the first two rounds. And we will see. Regardless, they have to find guys who can compete with tackle, guard, I mean, even center, in my estimation. And then, obviously, in the third round, you took Kahale Waring, who was one of the more noteworthy tight ends in this draft, former water polo player, played multiple sports. He's about 255, about 6'4". He's really well-built, muscular, good blocker at the point of attack. He's got a chance to get even better. He he's very athletic, can go catch a ball in space, can do some damage after the catch. He's kind of, he can be a little acrobatic in the air, but he is, he will, you know, he could be a little slow to process the offense, and if Bill O'Brien's offense is a little too complicated, that could slow him down in year one. But I thought he was maybe, you know, one of the five best tight ends in this year's draft, one of the four or five best tight ends in this year's draft, and better than, you know, Drew Sample, who went in the second round to the Cincinnati Bengals. So, I needless to say, I like Colin Warren. No pick in the fourth, in the fifth round.
Okay, but before we move on from him,
yeah.
Does that mean that Ryan Griffin, who is basically would have zero dead cap, is all but gone?
Yeah, because he's done. In fact, I don't think it's a huge reach to think that when he saw the Texans draft Kylie Waring, that may have started him on his downward spiral that night.
Yeah, that wasn't great.
Because that was an obvious poke right at him. I mean, that was, hey, this guy's, we're drafting him to play your spot. So,
well, they just drafted two rookies last year, so, I mean, it's pretty obvious, hey.
Yeah, Griffin.
We're not carrying four, and you're pretty pricey.
Yeah, Griffin is clearly out. So, now you got a guy who can play inline or on the wing position. Thomas, you got an inline, you know, meaning hand in the dirt, line of scrimmage guy, and Kahale Waring. And then you've got Akins, who can do a little of that too. You got some fairly diverse tight ends who can line up on the line of scrimmage or can split out. So it makes you a little less predictable when those tight ends are in the game, especially two tight end sets. Keep going.
I was going to say, what about our boy Chucky Aminihu? What do you think of him and how he'll
fit in? I mean, he got drafted where I thought he should. And I know when I did some shows in Austin, they're like, what? I said, yeah, you know, he's a fourth or fifth round guy. There's a lot of talk about him. I've heard him up around the second round.
Well, I think people thought Lil Jordan Humphrey was going to go in the second round, too.
Yeah. They weren't very realistic in Austin, of those. Charles Aminihu is big, strong. You know what he reminds me? You know what he could be on the very high side? So he's not real great at the point of attack. Even though he's got 36-inch arms, when he gets hit by pressure on the edge, they can kind of cave him in. He's not a real knee bender, and so he doesn't really get leverage at the point of attack to hold his ground. So he kind of needs to play outside of the tackle and make sure he can play on the end. But I tell you who he could maybe be is, if you really want to shoot for the stars, you go with Deatrick Wise. Deatrick Wise from New England came out of Arkansas. He didn't have great sack production. He was kind of a name brand guy, and then he fell to the fourth and fifth round. He had 36-inch arms. He had a lot of pop in his punch, and he had kind of heavy hands. And he learned how to become a better rusher, even though he was a little bit tight in his lower body. And there's a chance that Aminihu, who has very similar size, might be able to become the same guy. I don't think they view him like the girl who writes, Sarah Barshop, who writes for ESPN, covers the Texans. I think she had it wrong when she talked about he could compete with Angelo Blackson and whoever else it was. I can't remember who the other defensive lineman was. I think he's more of an end on
Joel Heath.
Joel Heath, yeah. I don't really see him that way. I mean, I think he'll get just caved in. So I know she's probably talking about maybe playing odd front five technique, which would be over the tackle, but I really think he needs to maybe play a little bit of shade on the outside eye. He's getting a little bit better leverage over the tackle, but I think he could become a player. He still needs to get coached up a lot. Sixth-round pick I think is really interesting, Xavier Crawford. I actually think that there were times where his tape looked very, very similar to Sean Bunting, his teammate, who was a cornerback who went in the second round. So Xavier Crawford transferred from Oregon State over to his final season. He played at Central Michigan.
He wanted to go 1-11.
Yeah, well, congratulations. You did it.
Got it.
You got it. You and Sean Bunting were able to pull it off. And but he does. He's a pretty good athlete. He's long. He can run. So the Texans got longer and faster at cornerback. That was, you know, that's just really what they wanted to do. They got a traits guy, defensive end with 36-inch arms, good size, and has some play strength, even though he didn't really bench very much. You got an athletic tackle. And Sharping's not a bad athlete. So you got some athleticism and definitely some size with those two guys. And in your seventh round, you basically just drafted a guy you hope can be a special teams ace.
So they're not looking to go backwards to where they're – I thought O'Brien was finally done with this fullback nonsense. They're looking –
I mean,
to
they're going to see if they can get some fullback reps out of him because he can catch and run. But one of his weaknesses, honestly, when I turned the tape on, he was just so bad at locating the hole where he needed to go to lead block for Travion Williams. He just didn't have a feel for it. Like, when you're a fullback, you have to read – like you have to read the line like a running back, and you're basically making cuts like a running back, and the running back follows you, so you need to be the eye for the running back. I thought there's a lot of times he just didn't know where to go. That's not unusual. He only had 1 year at fullback, and the rest of the time was at linebacker, but what he is a really dynamic, aggressive special teams player, and so I think the Texans see him as a guy who could get better at fullback with more work, but who can help you right away on special teams. So we'll see if he can make the team. I didn't give him a make it grade, but hopefully I'm wrong, and hopefully he makes the Texans because he does have some special teams ability.
So overall, I mean, I hate it as much as I'm sure you hate it.
Grading
the draft. I mean, do you feel like the Texans? How many guys? So I want to ask you a grade. I'll ask you how many guys of this draft class do you think can be serious contributors next year?
Next year, I think serious contributors will be the top three. I mean, I don't know that there will be serious. I don't know that Amenihu is going to be a serious contributor. I don't know if Xavier Crawford. I think Crawford will be by year two. I'm not sure next year with Lonnie Johnson and Roby and Body Calhoun and Jonathan Joseph and Aaron Colvin. I don't really see Xavier Crawford being a serious, you know, contender for playing time next year. I do think Sharkin could end up really competing for the right tackle spot. So. And being the swing tackle because he has played right and left tackle. So I think Max Sharpton could be the swing tackle, maybe the starting right tackle. I'd give him a less than 50% chance of that, but I still think he could factor in because, you know, Chantrell Henderson simply can't stay on the field. Howard, I think, will be a factor as a starter next year. Lonnie Johnson, I think, could end up with some starters reps at some point. But after that, you may be looking at some developmental type players.
Xavier Crawford, I think he may have to play just out of need, like at least some nickel.
Yeah, you could see. I mean, I could see him. I mean, the way it kind of shakes out to me is cornerback five. I mean,
yeah.
I'd be shocked if he could get his way, push himself all the way up to cornerback four. But I don't see any way to get to cornerback three. He'd have to beat out Bradley Roby, Bonnie Johnson, or obviously
J-Jo.
Yeah, or J-Jo, and that's just not going to happen.
Lance, one more before we let you go. Anyone on the undrafted free agents list that jumps out at you? I know there's always one or two that
yeah,
you like.
And I'm usually right on these. Ned Dylan Cole, Kaimi Fairbairn, Greg Mance, Kendall Lamb, and they've all made the teams. Dylan Cole was shocking to me. I mean, I thought he was a dead solid fifth-round pick. The two that kind of stand out to me is Teron Higdon, who I'm sure you guys watched at Michigan. No nonsense between the tackle runner, nothing flashy, but he runs hard. He runs tough. He's not as big as Deontay Foreman, but if Foreman slips up in camp, he could find himself looking for work because Higdon is going to give you some hard, tough yards. He's just kind of average in terms of what he's, you know, he's not a dynamic player, but he's a hard-charging guy, and he will give you some really some hard yardage. So I kind of like him. And then another one is Drew Lewis. He's a cornerback out of Colorado. Linebacker out of Colorado. He's the son of Will Lewis, who was a personnel director for the Kansas City Chiefs and Seattle Seahawks. So that's a guy who has an NFL pedigree. So the kid plays intelligently, as you would imagine. He also plays with good hands. He just needs to get stronger. He tested great. He's very fast. I think he could end up making the team as, you know, maybe a special teamer type who maybe he can play some three. So they lined him up and played him at some 3-4 outside linebacker sometime. So they have Peter Kalambayi, who is a special team ace. And I think this kid's got a chance to compete for that same kind of role. And I know the Texans really like the running back they got from Missouri. I really don't know him. And I know that's a running back that they think has some talent. I know they're kind of excited about him.
Well, what about that tackle from Ohio State? Because, I mean, his body makes you go, wow, this guy might be something because what,
he could end up being a stash where he ends up on the practice squad, and that's one of the places you like putting offensive linemen that you think aren't developed yet. I think he's a class. I mean, I've got to see how he plays, but he's a classic example of a guy who could end up being a practice squad player where they let him try to develop a little bit. So
if they can turn him into something, man, that guy's interesting. I mean, just based on his size alone, he's interesting.
Oh yeah. So like we always talk about the traits: height, weight, speed, length, strength. These are the Parcells way. This is what Brian Gaines is going to look for. It's not going to vary. It's not going to change. They're not going to deviate. The cornerbacks they got can run. The cornerbacks they got have size. That's what you can expect. Their linebackers, backers are going to be able to run. They're going to have some speed and some length. That's what you're going to see from the Houston Texans is the height, weight, speed stuff. And Green Bay does it. Our buddy there, right there in the division with the Colts, been doing it, height, weight, speed. He comes from the Dorsey model, and there's a lot of guys. It wasn't just Al Davis. I mean, Al Davis used to notoriously overdraft guys for that, but the belief is there's only a certain amount of guys that even look like this in the world. Bill Parcells would say that. So those guys who look like that have the best chance to play football because football, and you look at all-time greats a lot of times, are – the all-time greats are populated by guys who have those kind of rare traits.
Real quickly, the other three AFC South teams, how do you think they did?
So I thought the Colts had maybe the lowest of the drafts. I wasn't a fan of their draft much at all, to be honest with you. Bunch of linebackers. The way I graded them, I didn't love the Colts draft. I thought Jacksonville had a very good early draft. I mean, you got to love getting Juwan Taylor in the second round. And then you get the guy who might be the best pass rusher in the draft when it's all said and done in the first. You've got to be excited about that. I thought top to bottom, the Tennessee Titans might have had the best draft in the whole division. I really thought the Titans came away with some good football players. So that's kind of how I saw the players after I graded them and watched them. But I really like what the Titans did from top to bottom in their draft. So I think the Titans had the best draft in this division.
All right, that's Lance Zierlein. You can hear him on the bench every morning from 7 to 9. You can follow him on Twitter, at Lance Zierlein. You can catch some of his work from the draft on sportsmap.com. Go and check it out. He is also with NFL Network. He is the best when it comes to the draft. And great stuff, my man.
Well, Raheel claims he's got a Raheel. Like, he tried to create his own analytics where he would Raheel draft analytics or something like that, where he would grade drafts before they even happened. And he's trying to horn in on my business.
How's that working?
I mean, I got hounded by people on draft night on day one of the draft. Like, what was the RDA on that player?
Yeah, but you had 22 of 22 before the Texans picked. So
that's a good point. Yeah, that's a good point.
That mock is still – actually, I think maybe the cleaning guy threw it away, but it was on my desk.
But AJ saw it. I mean, so yeah, I had human eyes on it. Yep, absolutely.
All right, man. Thanks a lot. Great stuff, brother.
All right, we'll see you guys.
All right. All right, we're going to take a quick break. You don't want him to do Tri-Eagle here since it's this late in the hour? Yeah, let's do that.
Okay, I could do that. I could tell you about Tri-Eagle Energy. Not only are they bringing the energy on Houston Dynamo game days, they're giving Houstonians the power to win free electricity for an entire year. You sign up for any power to win electricity plan, they're going to give you two Dynamo game tickets and two T-shirts. You'll be automatically enrolled to win free electricity for a year. Every time the Dynamo win a home game, which, by the way, they did this weekend. Somebody's getting free electricity for an entire year. They're going to draw somebody, a lucky fan or a customer, to win a year of free electricity. It happened this weekend. It's going to happen more and more. You can enter to win by texting the word POWER to 77177. Visit TryEagleEnergy.com to learn more about this deal. That's POWER to 77177, PUCT license number 10064.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.